Michael and Alan would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, August 31st, 2010, and this is hour 145 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui, returned to Earth, with their flowing dialogue. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis, and welcome, everyone. And that is quite true as far as what was mentioned by Curtis just now. And, there is a continual, that flowing dialogue, of course, is continual unfolding and revelation knowledge, which is quite refreshing. And it would be sort of a dead universe if there wasn't any more continuing education or continuing revelation. And that's not the case. It's always more. And it's always expanding and showing more and revealing, more and more things.
And sometimes they answer directly through you.
Yeah, well, one of the interesting things is that I also do another show called Project Urantia, and about a minute before the show, I received a waking vision of a cave, and inside of that cave was hidden what appeared to be a chest, but it was the size of maybe like an automobile, pretty big. And it, it's like secret treasure or secret knowledge. So I was given the opportunity to briefly scan it, and I began to notice something interesting, and I didn't at first realize what it was saying to me. But then I looked at it, and I began to notice, wow, this lacquerware, this type of red lacquer and the different inlay, although the carvings and the inlays were unknown to me. I never saw those before. But the technique and all of that that was laid into this box, which is typical of a box with a lid on it. And I didn't know what those were meaning, so I just took it as some interesting point. However, one of the interesting things about being given communique by some from the celestials is that some of them, especially the ones I work with, the Saruns, these 12, who are guardians and also tremendous visual projectors. They were sending me a little message. That was interesting because I didn't know what it meant. So I said, well, I don't know what this means. And, besides that, I really don't know what I'll just basically say a few things and, start into this other show. And as it began to start into the show, immediately something comes in as a complete understanding of what it was and what it was saying. And what it was saying was that the chest and secret, which contains secret knowledge or hidden knowledge or knowledge that is to be revealed in its proper time, is stored. And I was wondering about that. And this is you, or me, Michael, am that storage chest. And that knowledge is just as much, many times, a surprise to me to unfold, as well as many times to repeat. So that is what they wanted me to understand, as well as the listeners, because it came at the time of the listening audience. And that's interesting because I don't really care to blow my own horn. In fact, I'm just doing this show, not for profit, not to, you know, sell anything, but I'm doing it because I promised the Celestials, the Shadowden, two guardians who dwell in the New Jerusalem, my aid and my help, because they seem to have desired it and had asked for help, but I didn't know in what form. Eventually, of course, it's come to this type of program and active informational dialogue. So anyway, that's a little bit of some interesting things that are coming about as the project or the unrevealing of this teaching mission that they continue to unravel is continuing right now.
Well, from the author of the Urantia, broadcasturantia.com, Jay says, "Hi Curtis, got a question for Michael. Do our prayers go through the reflectivity circuits? And is the phenomena also some sort of created living being like the power directors?" The Urantia book mentions these circuits being used for intergalactic communication on Jerusalem, and also the archangel circuits are mentioned as well. Could Michael comment on the nature of these different circuits? Just wondering if that is what makes telepathic communication possible. And then he goes on and says, "Is that how Nella was able to project her thoughts and divine love into Michael's heart and calm him down?" And he signs, "Hope all is well, Jay."
Well, that's a good question, and it's one that is filled with information. And there are many circuits that are involved. The reflectivity circuit, of course, is conceptual of like radar. Any of our reflectivity circuits is our vision is a reflectivity circuit. When we see, our sight is a sensual reflectivity circuit. The heightened reflectivity circuits that are Urantia include telepathic communication, physical levitation, things like that. But our important aspect of actually getting information or guidance really comes down from having a submitted relational harmony with our thought adjuster, with the first, second, as well as third sources, or essentially when it comes down to old-fashioned biblical knowledge, I mean, I'm calling archaic because it's a couple thousand years old. It talks about the Jesus circuit, praying in His name, and what it is an interesting thing, is that when you understand the rule and governance in the universe, and that really the universe isn't governed by procedural rules, and it's really ruled by divine authority and the Creator Son Michael, but He doesn't rule by might or power or legalism. He rules by love and by harmony. And that harmony, that love, is a projectable, or you can funnel that. Curtis, did you remember me funneling some of that energy to you when I came over?
When you placed your hands on my shoulders?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like more than my hands?
Yes, I felt that warm energy from from you and your wife.
Did it give you peace?
Oh, yes. It was very peaceful. Absolutely.
Yes.
It's calming and peaceful.
Yeah. And that is one of the circuits. You know, it's real, it's divine, and the source of it comes from, specifically comes from the Creator Son. It comes from Jesus Christ. It is an energizing quality, of, not only of communication, but of actual spiritual as well as physical results. The reflectivity part, of course, is that when you ask, you kind of receive, or when you send out an impulse, you receive back something. You know, there's this reflectivity that goes on. Interestingly enough, the whole universe is governed by that. Let's see if I can find something might be more important. It was like a guiding influence here. I was sort of like pushed by that same circuit to find something written in the Urantia book. So let me see if I can dig that up out of the Urantia book. And it's a short little blurb out of a, I think, paper. Well, before I quote the paper, I should really know exactly what it says. Might misquote the wrong paper, but anyway, it does give indication that a little bit of a hint of an indication of how this circuit works with the actual participation of the individual Creator Son. And for our universe, we know him as Jesus Christ because of that kind of wonderful bestowal. We have it. Okay, yeah. If you take reference in Urantia book, paper 32, let's see, paper 32, section 4. Let's see, sentence 3 here. This is something interesting. As regards to policies, conduct, and administration of local of a local universe, this is interesting because you're wondering about circuits, communication, administration, you know, guidance, and working, living and alive in a local universe. He says, as regards to the policies, conduct, and administration of local universe, the universe father acts in the person of his Creator Son. Okay, so now he's functioning in his Creator Son, and we know him, Michael of Nebadon, Jesus Christ, and in the interpretation of the sons, in the interrelationships of the sons of God, which include angels, descending and ascending, as well as ourselves, who have taken on this willing relationship of fractal attunement, attuning ourselves to the divine fragment or the mystery monitor or whatever other names are given for this first source. In the interrelationship of the sons of God in the group of associations, the personalities of the of origin in the third source and center, spirit source, or in the relationship between any other creatures such as human beings. So here we see, as far as the workings of it go, in the interrelationships of the sons of God, in the group and associations of personalities of the origin in the third source and center, or in the relations between any other creature, such as human beings, as concerns such associations, the universe Father never intervenes. The law of the Creator Son, the ruler of the Constellation Father, system sovereigns, and the planetary princes, the ordained policies and procedures for the universe always prevail. There is no division of authority. Never is there any cross-working of divine power and purpose. The deities are in perfect and eternal unanimity. essentially, when it comes down to any of the governing factors, informational relays, things like that, they all reflect all the way back to the sun, creator sun, as the ultimate authority. And now, because of his completion of his mortal mission here on Earth, to become the lowest of his, all of his creation, a human being, it includes us. And as a result, the human race is now considered royalty. And because of this, we have essentially a valid and alive communication circuit between the Father through the Son back to us through the third source, or the spirits, the spirit, or the various spiritual sources. So, although we swim within it many times, we don't know that they can be directed and energized as much as, you know, like radio system, radio waves are, you know, always running around. But once you become adjusted, everything sort of works much better. So if anyway you try to reflect on that idea or that chapter, go through it, look at it, the thought adjusters are remain in function, but the creator thought really gives personality, life, and is in fact, by this process, even involved in limited relationships, limited affairs, as such as with any, between any creature, as such as a human being. So I believe that may give some hint to one of the ideas of communication circuit, the energy of love, and the involvement of the Creator Son in the whole affair. But it all requires one of the most, it's almost terrifying at one point to think that it requires a submission of will, personal will. But then again, there is a much more truth to the opening of it than the closing. In other words, if you dig your heels in and refuse the pressure, and you'll come in a form of pressure many times to open this circuit. And that is something that the Holy Spirit, or the third, which functions from the third source, will do. And there's many different pressures, but one of them is to allow the sovereign will of the Creator Son in to establish rule in our heart. And that particular pressure sometimes is mysterious. And for me, it was sort of terrifying. I thought, what if I go out of my mind or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But instead, really? It attuned me to all of this information. And it gave credibility to what I would receive, whether it be an image, or like a vision, or a audio telepathic communication through sentence, word structures, or complete understanding in terms of a complete knowledge passed in one burst. And these are all functions that are real and have been used over the millennia of the time in which these circuits began to be opened. And and are working as much as possible until the world realizes it's true, the true way. It won't necessarily be, wow, this is the Christian way, this is the Islamic way, this is the Buddhist way, this is the, you know, all the religions, this is the political, this is the scientific way. The truth will reign. It will become understood. Anyway, that's a little bit of that commentary on that question for Jay.
So that's actually telepathic communication?
Telepathic is inclusive of it, of many of the ways, yes. But it all starts with allowing a dropping of our personal will, in other words, submission to First Source, the ultimate rule of the universe. Because he rules in a way that is filled with love. So when the projection comes, like with Nella, drove fear out of me, it was because she simply allowed the method of his rule to flow, which is love.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that dimensional part that so many people forget about or leave out. You know, when it comes down to even interpersonal communication, when it comes down to that, there's need for the agent of that truth to flow. And if it doesn't, that truth, which can form in, can take form in love, if it doesn't flow, then the communication is sometimes impersonal. Sometimes it can become legalistic, which is weak. Always be broken, and many times just simply lies because they're not held accountable for various, you know, constructs of communication.
If a person is not really open to these reflective circuits, or is it possible if they did want to try and communicate with you telepathically, that if the person they're trying to speak to is not ready for it or not prepared, that the communication wouldn't be possible?
Yes, it wouldn't be possible.
So you really have
Many times, you remember then my eyes were open and I beheld the glory of God. You know, these kinds of concepts, mm-hmm. Beautiful statements. The eyes were not necessarily being physical eyes of vision, but mm-hmm. one that would perceive and understand a greater dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a heightened level of our maturity in gaining morancho as well as full spiritual sensory abilities. And we use our sensory abilities, our audio, like in here, and then we decipher that through our mind circuit as well as our brain, physical brain, into understandable word patterns that give us, or we can look at imagery, and we can look at or complete stories and receive two-dimensional translations into a full, and our mind translates that into a full experiential relation in our life, reflected against our life. So part of the reflectivity circuit is reflected against our experiential basis of being. So living life is also an extremely important aspect of being mortal, of gaining tremendous experience, especially being in a fallen world, a world that is basically wide open. It's a wide open world, and people can choose to seek truth, seek First Source, seek God, or they can choose to seek anything they want, $1 million, or $10 million, or whatever it is, you know. But it doesn't necessarily fulfill the individual until they really realize their purpose for being.
And that's a really big question, their purpose for being.
Well, yeah.
I mean, people on Earth, we always hear about people saying,
well,
you know,
can do a lot of things that will kind of like, you know, inoculate you from feeling that drive. And one of them is the, you know, pleasure and, you know, power. These are good cover-ups of the divine purpose. And we'll overcome these falsehoods. And what we find underlying all of that is a heightened vision, a heightened communication in these circuits. As well as finding out, my goodness, how can this be that to the littlest affair, the smallest little affair, the Creator Son can get involved in it, ultimately. Or he can send his emissaries, as it did with Tananella, for me to physically and materially take me and show me how things work.
Mm-hmm. When you remember when you said you saw Tan's face and it was red?
Yes.
And, well, you were a young man at the time. Did you think it could be the devil with that red face?
Well, that's immediately what I began to think. You know, that's the devil.
Yeah, who is this guy?
But yeah, who is this guy?
But didn't he send out his reflection of calmness and love?
Well, there were still, at the time, I had been calmed down already by Nella, but he came in and then he made me uncomfortable, and Nella detected that, said, you know, why don't you go away for a while and come back later?
Yeah, after it.
So he kind of, I remember he took a step back, kind of walked away, like, okay, all right, I'll walk away, come back later. So this is another point. This is a very important point. It comes back to the fact of what their mission is. Their mission is to select out. This is a way of, you know, preening out and getting out readied souls. It's very important that these readied souls are souls that are seeking and will also be finding whatever circuit they use. And ultimately, it will be groomed back into the universe circuit, the universe of Nebadon under the rule of Jesus Christ, under the rule of Michael of Nebadon. This is very, very important that we are chosen. You know, this concept, you know, people are just thinking, well, the Israelites said they're the chosen people. Well, the whole idea is that people are chosen of God. You don't choose God. You choose to seek or to find God, and because of that, you get chosen. You know, in other words, why adopt this person in who doesn't want to open his eyes? You know, you're over there, and he says, no, you got to open your eyes so you can see. You got to open your eyes so you can see. He says, no, 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 I'm not going to look. I'm not going to see. I'm not going to see. And then... this brings me to a sad memory. In elementary school, there was a girl that would have such a terrible time in life, and she was in the fourth grade, and she'd lie in the middle of the yard and stare at the bright sun. And I said, what? Keep looking at the sun, you won't be able to see. She says, I don't want to see anymore. I don't want to see anymore. I says, no, if you stare at the sun, you're not going to see. She says, no, I don't want to see anymore. I says, why? I don't want to tell you. And I said, well, don't stare at the sun, you know. But I could never get her to stop staring at the sun. And eventually, I see her now in selling, you know, little treats in a snack bar under the blind, you know, people.
Oh yes.
Yeah, you know, they get this. They have this little. They can, you know, have a little business, you know. So she would be selling sandwiches and, you know, drinks and candy bars and things like that. Now, and I looked at her and I said, this is the same girl I remember lying in the middle of the yard saying that I don't want to see. And how terrible it was to bring her, let's say, into a position to not want to see. Now, the selection of pulling people into the heavens who are not ready is also another problem. So we've got to continue to realize that their choice is very important. They select out individuals, and any individual, basically, who started to seek will be in a very early age been imbued with a thought adjuster, divine fragment, fractal of God, piece of God, and then go on to greater discovery and have their eyes opened, you might say, and never to be shut, because what they would gain to see would be much better and much more glorious than even our natural eyes. But our natural eyes even can detect much greater things. Because what I'm saying right now also is that you said Tan's red face and scared me and all that, and it did. It was after I really began to see, truly allowed to see into Tan's nature, that I began to realize that this is a person. He's people. He's not a monster.
Mm.
Yeah. He can talk, communicate, and understand, and ask questions. And, you know, you haven't heard the whole, you know, how we would say we'll talk story.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaiian style. So anyway, that's a little bit about that.
Were you taller than Tan as a young boy when you met him?
Oh, well, I was 19, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you definitely were taller.
Yeah. When I first saw him, I was lying on my back, basically immobilized.
Oh.
You know, that was scary because...
That's frightening.
Yeah, I was carried into this room with these white-looking guys. They were shorter than Nella and Tan, smaller. And, you know, they had round heads and big eyes. And long fingers. But I believe they were more like robots. Because they seemed not to do anything until commanded to by Nella or Tan. And they even brought in a human dummy who seemed to be alive but really wasn't. He was dressed in a druid-looking outfit with a hooded appearance. He was kind of big, about 6 feet tall. But he walked in all by himself, and he stayed there. And I was trying to talk to him, but he just stayed there, so like keep me company. And then comes walk, and then comes Tan walking in. I'm terrified and I'm afraid. And then he goes out, and then here comes Nella, and then she calls me Michael. Yeah. Don't be afraid. And that projection of the universal governance, the power of the universe governance, this was drove all fear out of me. And then it was all revelation from that point on. But the situation is filled with, you know, like, wow, am I ever going to come out of this alive or what? I was also very angry when I first saw Tan walk in. I said, I know you're not God. Why do you come in his place? You're some kind of, you know, alien or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he never said a word.
But they never portrayed themselves as gods.
No, they never did, but they came in to function in, I guess, to help the situation as willing agents, as willing, as much as I'm a willing agent to help portray that story.
As far as the New Jerusalem being illuminated or luminescent, could they ever turn the lights up bright enough that we could see them at night? In other words, instead of just seeing Saturn, it would actually be visible to the human eye or the without a telescope?
I believe at one point it may have been the actual star of Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and was cruising around, because it was the New Jerusalem is in fact after the Lucifer rebellion kind of a architectural sphere that has grown into an architectural city in space that will probably get very, very large. Perhaps in our talk coming to the level of an architectural world. Yeah.
How
so I because of the fact that it did immediately strike me when I was told this is where we're going to, and the I could see it as they turned the dome clear. I could see through it. They said, that's where we're going. And I said, wow, you mean that light bulb looking thing? And that's because it was, you know, pretty bright.
Yeah,
it also looked like a light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They also made their dome clear when they visited Riley and wanted him to take pictures of them.
Yeah, that's on the site too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I've never seen crafts like that do that before.
Yeah, so
there
with Riley there were three ships, yeah, working together.
Yes.
For myself, it seemed to have been just one extremely beautiful ship. I could call it that. It seemed to be a vessel of light. crystal light kind of video. Anyway,
as long as the Jerusalem has been out there,
yes,
which has been how
at
long?
Least a couple thousand years.
Okay, a couple thousand years
at least.
And
yeah.
And it was only then a short time ago that you were there,
right?
In proportion,
right?
So how much larger has that sphere gotten since you've been there?
Well, it grows exponentially. So it's getting immense dimensions now. I mean, it's just really getting big fast.
So it's getting larger and faster now than it did thousands of years ago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess just growing another percent is a large.
But if you look at the kind of craft that have come from it, these delta wing, they're delta shaped ones now,
mm-hmm.
besides the V wing design, as well as, you know, the tubular and the saucer shape, the big ones are really the ones that are delta shaped, as well as the really big ones are like the mile long one, like the V wing one. They probably are housing a lot of them, too, now.
They're still making them.
Yeah. In a sense, I call them, what do you need wings out here, anyway? What do you need the holes under there for, under the wings for, at least for mining? And he gave me the picture of a harvester. So there are many, many, many chosen and elect who, by the shaking of the tree, the trembling of the planet, who in readiness of heart will turn their hearts to the right place will essentially fall off the tree and be harvested at the, in a proper moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're rapidly approaching something happening right now. Maybe very, very close to a normal timing period too, because our planet has gone through many episodes of seemingly cyclical events that have caused a lot of life changes, you know, extinction events and different types of turns, magnetic anomalies as well as magnetic pole shifts and things like that.
Have they helped us or aided us for maybe another huge flood like they had in Noah's time?
No, it won't be that way. In Noah's times was a different project altogether.
I see.
Yeah.
And were they around at that time?
Yeah. Or
they were out there?
They were out there. I'm not sure if the New Jerusalem was there, but they were out there.
Well, it'd be nice if they turned all their lights on sometime.
Well, that's what they're doing, kind of, in a sense of, you know, being able to be photographed here and there all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I did say that they were, you know, they sent me an image, very, very clear dream, that they're going to upscale that program of revelation. And they're going to take, you know, a lot more, you know, vision. There's another planetary program held up by the Heart of Man. I'm not sure who's sponsoring it, but maybe just man's self, ego, to say that celestial intervention is all evil and the devil lives in the sky. This is not the case. Heaven, when any, ask anybody about heaven, and they'll point in the right direction, which is off of Earth.
Yeah, they always point in that direction. Well, Paul writes a couple days ago, Paul J.S., he says, "Hello, gentlemen. Last week, Michael mentioned two names that I hadn't heard before when he was talking about Nebadon being more than just the Milky Way. The name sounded like Aquan and Quentin.
Quentin.
Yeah. What did these names represent?" And
they are representative names, yes.
And then he asked, also, is there a reason that the Milky Way galaxy is larger than most galaxies? Signed, thank you, Paul J.S.
Okay, well, Paul, when it comes down to the idea of our local universe of Nebadon, and we've got to realize that we are part of super universe of Orvontan, which is a part of the seven super universes, circling Havona. But in any case, believe it or not, all the universes, all the way to the local universes, are related substantially and interconnected and harmonized. But the local universes, as they become distinctly mature, are given a different allocation or different perspective. But Nebadon, in which Christ Michael created, you know, he, as the Creator Son, only a little while ago has, you know, become a sovereign of his own universe of creation. And when we look at that and we say, well, it must be just a little place if it's only a local universe, because, you know, actually it's much larger than the Milky Way. When I received this triunity of universe assembly, the triunity also includes the dimensional and the physical and the in-between. The triunity of the universe of Nebadon is a functional triunity also, functional between the Father and the Creator Son and the third source, the Mother Spirit, or Spirit Assembly, spirit, the seven spirits, mm-hmm. which all revolve around the center of Nevadon. Now we are the outswinging element of one of the farthest areas outside of the developed segment of Nevadon in the Milky Way spiral and its clusters of stars. In Jerusalem, in the segment of Satania, sector or whatever. Anyway, it's the fallen sector of Satania, which has approximately 600 plants of sentient indwelling. In other words, many, many, many more planets can be included. In fact, you know, given the number of possible planets, it's extremely high. So, you know, out of the 600, there's literally, you know, tens of thousands more spheres and orbs and planets and suns that are non-life implanted and much, much less in terms of, you know, having life that is base or basic. Or when you look at the complexity of our lives and who we are, created physical beings of mortal origin on Urantia, you realize that it's a very, very uncommon planet. But in the number of planets, we often wonder, you see, there is a fixed number, perhaps, the Milky Way has, as in the billions of stars. But what came to me from my question to the celestial was that there is a number of areas outside of the Milky Way as we know it that are inclusive of many spheres, both that glow light and those that are not. And he gave me the name Quintin. I asked, you mean like quintillion? And it says exactly. So it suggests one followed by 30 zeros, which is quite a large number of spheres. Mm-hmm. And that is part of the inclusiveness of Nevadon, which includes the Milky Way, which includes other galaxies, which includes many dark spheres. And the concept of Akwan is the actual membrane or the brain of the fabric of this universe, which is the assembly, which is basically, if you look at a two-dimensional design, it's the blueprint that it lays upon, which is also an area filled with, you know, the concept of an ocean or an aqua or a water and things like that. So these were two concepts that were given to me and named, and then from that point, they're explained somewhat. And you can also find that in the Urantia book. I noticed that it's there. So in any case, our universe is not limited to the local universe of Nevadon. It's not limited to the Milky Way.
But it encompasses, it includes the Milky Way?
It includes the Milky Way. In fact, the Milky Way is one of the more important segments, but it is also, and Milky Way is the problem is the chunk of it is a fallen part of the universe of Nibelon. One of the important factors about the development and the rule, or not the rule, but the creation of the universe, is that we understand and we can see that, first of all, galactic structure is made up of primal amalgamation of matter and base matter, some of which ignites into suns and other and planets, and these can be grouped into a pre-galactic form. What is that called? I forget what we call nebula or nebulous conglomeration of base matter and material. But inclusive of that base that will create a spiral galaxy, typical spiral galaxy, are the other factors involved. These other trans-dimensional or interdimensional factors that make that universe much larger than one galaxy alone, because of the involvement of the other neighboring, both seen and unseen, gravity bodies and non-radiating bodies, as well as the ones that can be seen by light.
Now, Paul says the Milky Way galaxy is larger than most galaxies.
Yes,
is that
one
true?
Of the concepts that we're beginning to find out is that many galaxies are not necessarily as large in their, you know, their accumulation of stars as ours.
Mm-hmm.
The Milky Way is indeed, you know, a little bit larger in its galactic structure, and one that was chosen because it did not seem to have a trajectory that would involve a collision with another neighboring galaxy. There's civilization between galaxies, which are inclusive of Nibelon, are pretty fundamentally stable. There are collisions in, you know, from our planet, we can see we get little, you know, meteorites all the way till we observe entire galaxies colliding. And when such things happen, they are not necessarily chosen for universe building. And I'm talking about universe of not only say having stars and planets, but most importantly, having sentient life with ascension or potential for creation of a universe.
So they chose the Milky Way, and your rancho was part of the galaxy?
Yeah, well, it was definitely part of the Milky Way galaxy.
Yes.
And your rancho happened to be the least developed, yet one of the most experimentally life-rich planets around. It has gone through many, many life evolvements, life experiments that have gone through, ultimately leading up to the human race, which within an extremely short time, in terms of the lifespan of Urantia, has attained sonship potential, true potential of becoming a son of God. Creatures that have the past, animal attainment, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this planet was chosen because of the amount of life here and the possibility that these animals, were they humans at the time?
No, they were...
we know them well, not to be humans.
Well, let's look at Chosen. Chosen by Christ Michael for a mortal bestowal. They were humans at the time in which he chose that, yes. Mm-hmm. But the exact reason for his choosing it, there are many easier options. I recently was, this past weekend, I was kind of cleaning my backyard and have this chipper shredder, and I was chipping away at branches and stuff, and then I took some grass and I decided to shred it, so I threw it in the shredder and shredded it, threw another bunch, and I was, as I was grasping and pushing into the shredder, I didn't realize that there was a wire hidden in the grass. And it, as the shredder grasped the wire, it immediately whipped that hard wire on my arm, and it left a deep wound. And it was a whipping wound, because the shredder just took that wire, just whipped it, right, gobbled it up, and as it was going in, it whipped it into my arm.
You know? Your hands are too close.
Well, not really close. You got to feed it into the, you know, feed it into the feeder.
You got to use a stick.
No. You got to feed it into a stick without a stick, because you'll never get it into the hole. Cause it was never meant to have a piece of wire in there.
Of course, all right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the point I'm making is that when I reflect on Christ. When he came and decided to be a human being or a mortal, his whole universe, he could have chosen any material mortal, in other words, one who would be born and die. he chose Earth, and even knowing that it was so confused, he'd probably get rid of him in a brutal way. In other words, the physical death wouldn't be normal. And I realized that he had all the power to, you know, not have to go through that selection process and choose someplace easier. But apparently he chose a really tough corner of the universe, a fallen area of the universe that had a lot to gain and a lot to prove and a lot of potential. You know, and there's some people that say, you know, don't get me something with potential. I don't want to hear anything about potential. I want it perfect. You know, buy me a car. A used car, but not one with potential. I want it perfect. mm-hmm. You know, I don't want, a car has potential to become worth $1 million, but I don't want to hear that. You know, you put in $2 million to make it worth $1 million. Well, that's approximately what happened with the bestowal of Christ Michael. But, you know, that the whipping of mine just brought it into realization that he never had to take one lashing. He never had to take one insult, yet he did. And as a result, the universe looks upon that, the universe that has, you know, truly, who never rebelled against him, as well as those who once did rebel and have turned back, are looking at that as an amazing thing. And then we who are human beings who are living in this confused place, suffering the same, many times the same consequences of, you know, having that kind of truth, destabilizing a planetary government or powers, you know, can be suffering the same kinds of ridiculous problems. And that's because of that, and we overcome many of these, and we make choices that are life experiential that can be reflected upon in our visionary involvement into a higher level of being, we end up becoming like him, like Christ, and as becoming like Christ, we become royal, a royal following.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, all because I was trying to grind up some grass. Wow, it was sore. It really had a striking, you know, to get whipped is a lot, you know. You get cut with a scalpel, heck, you don't even feel it. Or you get whipped with your big, you know, same kind of cut, same length. Whoa, it was sore.
Well, I'm sorry that wire hit your hand.
Yeah, but it healed up real nice. You know how that goes. A little bit, you know, put in some, soak some stuff we make, you know, ozone water, and wire, clean it up with some of that, and put some, what do you call that, silver water.
Silver, colloidal silver?
Colloidal silver, yeah. And then soak that for a while, then and just bandage it up with a little bit of regular kind of antibiotic ointment.
Well, that was
really dirty looking. Yuck, oh boy.
Yeah. Well, that ozone will clean it for sure.
Yeah, that stuff does all wonder. Cleans you inside and out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gives you extra energy.
Yeah, it cleans your blood, your liver, and your spleen, your kidneys.
Yeah.
Thyroid, skin, your gums. Probably even cleans your brain, your stomach, your intestines, just about everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Just about everything. It does clean your gums.
Well, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, I remember how, you know, my parents never had their own teeth because, you know, dentistry was unaffordable.
Mm-hmm.
So people always pulled their teeth out.
And they had a plan.
Plan? I don't know. I've never had a plan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a plan to not have your own teeth. That's just, but it's terrific to have your own teeth, and I don't know, people who drink that ozone water for the first time, many times they say, boy, their mouth felt so different in the morning.
It does.
Yeah, it does. And it, especially the first time.
Yeah.
Well, it was a device created by Nikola Tesla back in when he first created ozone back in 1891.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a long time ago.
A long time ago, and people, both colloidal silver, you know, the medicine companies wouldn't make money because people would learn how to make this stuff easy.
Well, you can just take those old silver quarters or silver dimes,
yeah,
and just put them in water.
Yeah, right.
And you can get a little effect from
that. I remember hearing, you know, about that when I was little, well, putting a silver dime on your cut, things like that.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad your that whipping wire or whatever it was wasn't worse.
Yeah, could have been. I could have lost my fingers or whatever.
Yeah, what
it wrapped
doing?
Around my hand.
So close.
Yeah. But it just, you know, whipped in so quick, just all it did was whip across my arm.
Oh.
So my forearm from elbow to wrist has got a long line, so.
Oh, so this wire was really long and it was.
It was, you know, enmeshed in this long grass. Yeah.
Okay, I pictured it. It whipped like a like in a circle, but it was really just being pulled into the machine really fast.
Right. Yeah.
I say, well, be careful.
Yeah. Well, the darn-gone machines, you know, it's got all these warning signs on them. You can only go so far. I was often wondering how that people get hurt with them. Now,
yeah.
I'm sure that you're supposed to feed stuff that gets chopped up in there, but that wire is still. Mm-hmm.
Or when you buy a new ladder, there's so many warnings on it that you can't even step on it.
Yeah.
It's like warning about this, and it's like, but it's all a matter of gravity.
That's true. Yeah.
And there's that G word again. Well, there goes another hour with Michael. Thank you very much. It was.
Yeah. That's the second gravity circuit, the gravity circuit of finding God. That's the most immense and powerful gravity circuit unifying all the universes together. All back to first source.
Well, we are all close. We're all close to God, and we're even close to Saturn.
Yep.
But ask them to turn all their lights on sometime and let us see them with our naked eye without a telescope. That probably a lot of light. But time to say aloha. Sorry to run this
aloha.
Longer, but aloha, Michael. See you next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.